Welcome to Pipe Bomb Wrestling Radio. And I am your host, Curtis, bringing you the best in professional wrestling. If you were to ask me 2 months ago that the WWE would be making such vast improvements, I think you were possibly a bit too optimistic. Seemingly, this run of injuries to, you know, a lot of talent, Seth Rollins, Cesaro, later on we found out that even John Cena would be out and would miss WrestleMania. Seemingly, it looked like we were going to be stuck in this black hole of creative where it would only be Roman Reigns and Sheamus and pretty much the show built around both of them. And it was like that for the better part of the end of the year of 2015. Who would have known that just a few days after the start of 2016, after Wrestle Kingdom 10, which was a really great pay-per-view, by the way, and you should all watch, news would break out that these four New Japan stars had given their notice to New Japan and that they were on the way out. Shinsuke Nakamura, who we'll get back to, by the way, Karl Anderson, Doc Gallows, and AJ Styles. Seemingly, many made the assumption that they were WWE bound. And I must say, watching the Royal Rumble, if you were expecting AJ Styles to come out, you were not disappointed. And I really, really, really love the Royal Rumble show. Thought it was one of the better Royal Rumble cards from top to bottom. You know, whereas last year, the only highlight was that triple threat for the World Heavyweight Championship. This time, it actually delivered. It was from top to bottom. You have matches such as Dean Ambrose versus Kevin Owens in that last man standing match, which I thought was excellent. It was great. It was brutal. It was as close to they could under the guidelines of PG. It still looked like a brawl out there. I love multiple spots in the match. I did like the fact Ambrose won cleanly. Owens took the loss like a champ. He still looked strong regardless. Going through that double tables was insane. Even the New Day. The New Day, they must be the MVPs of 2015. Who would have known that such a gimmick that, you know, just a year earlier in 2014, seemed doomed, seemed dead on the water. Who knew that such a gimmick would actually just go so over when they just let them be themselves? Which might be another thing I might get back to. They defeated the Usos, who I feel are becoming a bit too stale. And you could even tell by the booing some of the crowd gave the Usos that maybe they need a refresh in their character. Maybe they need to introduce something new to their repertoire. Kalisto defeated Alberto Del Rio for the United States Championship. It was a great match. I did like the fact how they traded pretty much pinfalls over the last few weeks. You know, Kalisto got the title from Del Rio. Then Del Rio got the title from Kalisto back the next day. Or the next show on SmackDown. And then Kalisto, I guess, finally won over Del Rio. Finally got the title. Good for him. I did like the fact that they brought up the fact. I mean, you know, people always like to say, oh, you know, Cena this, Cena that. I did like the fact that they brought up the fact that Kalisto had kicked out of the same kick that Del Rio used against John Cena to actually win the U.S. title. Nice of them. Got Kalisto way over. I don't know what the future holds for him. Hopefully it's promising. Hopefully he lives up to expectation, because I know he has expectations by the bucket load, as I remember him from PWG. Charlotte defeated Becky Lynch. I do think that this was probably the weakest match of the night. Not to say that, you know, it was bad or anything, but I just think there's something missing, you know. I don't know, maybe it was the pacing, maybe it was just a different style, maybe they're expected to work a different style, because I'm pretty sure if they would have had this match in NXT, they would have knocked it out the park. I don't know why it just didn't work out this way. But regardless, Sasha Banks came out at the end. Seemingly, Becky is going to be put in the back burner. This is Sasha's time now. She pretty much attacked Becky Lynch. Becky had got no retribution. Seemingly, Sasha was making a pact with Charlotte, which was reminiscent of their old BFF grouping. But no, next thing you know, bank statement on Charlotte as well. I suppose this makes Sasha the face, and more than likely this would make Sasha the challenger, which I'm hoping they save it up to WrestleMania. Then came the Royal Rumble match, and I gotta say it was beautifully booked. Kudos to whoever got that match down. AJ Styles being number 3 was a nice surprise. I remember when he came out, I literally thought, oh my god, they're gonna do the Ric Flair thing, because Ric Flair was a big guy from another company who was also number 3, and in his first Royal Rumble ended up winning the WWF Championship. I thought that would have been a nice callback had AJ Styles came in, won on his first night, you know, this star that made his career elsewhere, and he's finally in the WWE, and now he's here, and it would have been nice had he won the title. But I think who they picked out to throw him out was also not a bad choice, and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is able to absorb the reaction from the crowd. You know, Owens being a darling of the internet and the indie scene, being the guy to throw out AJ Styles was right by me. Had it been someone like Reigns or Big Show, oh, the crowd would have just died. And even then, it seemed like the crowd wanted to die down. They bring out Sami Zayn, who gets retribution on Kevin Owens, manages to throw out Kevin Owens. Unfortunately, I feel that after that, Zayn was kind of left directionless. And until he was eventually thrown out by the Wyatt family, I'm thinking Owen should have just gone back inside and thrown Zayn out. But then, of course, it would have seemed like they were establishing a feud, and I think they want to keep Sami still down in NXT for like a few more months, especially now that you hear this rumor that I should address later on. Near the end, after Roman Reigns was attacked by the League of Nations, he came back. It was him, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, Ziggler. Triple H comes out. Brock Lesnar was thrown out by the Wyatt family, so I'm thinking they're establishing a feud between Wyatt and Lesnar. I don't know. Maybe Wyatt wins at WrestleMania, and all that heat that Lesnar had of beating The Undertaker gets transferred to Wyatt. But then again, you had Wyatt face Taker last year, so why not just have Taker, him beat Taker last year? It just makes no sense, but whatever. Regardless, Triple H ended up throwing out Roman Reigns, and it was down to Dean Ambrose and Triple H. And I gotta admit, for a brief second, they got me. I thought Dean Ambrose might have a shot at winning the title. Don't know why. Made no sense booking-wise, in a way. But I literally did think, oh, wow, Dean Ambrose is going to win it. It also helped that I was part of a Royal Rumble drawing, and I actually drew Dean's number. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm actually going to win this. But no, Triple H fortunately throws Dean Ambrose out, which I was like, Reigns, if there was a time to be Hulk Hogan, it was then. You should have, you know, just pulled Triple H down from the ring like he did Sid Justice, had your buddy win the title, and who knows, he might have given you a shot down the line for WrestleMania. But I digress. The pay-per-view as a whole was really excellent. The following Raw wasn't that bad either. You had Styles have his first Raw match against Chris Jericho, who was also one of the finalists in the Royal Rumble. And I thought they did a pretty good match. It was good for Raw standards. Who knows if they could have probably delivered a bit better if it were a pay-per-view. But for Raw standards, it was actually a pretty good match. I don't know why Cole was calling the Walls of Jericho the Lion Tamer, since there is a clear difference between the Walls and the Lion Tamer. you know, Lion Tamer looks a bit more brutal than the Walls, but it was a nice callback. I'm supposedly thinking maybe Jericho recommended that they just start referring to that as the Lion Tamer again, since he still has the Lion Salt in his arsenal. I don't know. Another highlight was The Rock coming out. The Rock just, I don't know. People might get tired of The Rock. People might say this about The Rock. They might call him a misogynist, whatever. I love The Rock in that segment he had. It was nice having Miz come out in that limo. It was a nice surprise. And then, of course, The Rock shows up in that pickup, Haku's pickup, by the way. And then he just starts just going after Big Show, saying that, oh, yeah, you did beat me 16 years ago, but I got the Scorpion King role because the director just saw Royal Rumble. He didn't see Raw the next night. And then he went after Lana, which, whatever, you know, people might say that it's Vince getting back at them. I don't know. I mean, yeah, WWE does seem petty in that sense, but I just think, you know what? If anything, The Rock, I mean, Lana got to interact with The Rock, you know? If anything, it just makes Lana's character and Rusev's character have some direction. I'm hoping this leads to a WrestleMania match, because this isn't the first time Rusev and The Rock have actually interacted, you know? I'm hoping it leads to better things. Maybe a WrestleMania match. Maybe The Rock stepping inside the ring will help sell tickets in AT&T Stadium. The Cowboys play. That's what I'm hoping for. But what I want to address is the interaction between The Rock. Like how The Rock just went off the script. Or maybe he didn't even have a script. He was just himself. And I think that's something that's sorely lacking in the WWE. And they need to put more confidence and trust in their talent and allow them to just deliver promos in their way and say the words they want to say and express themselves the way they want to express themselves, because it does seem like sometimes it's a bit too cookie cutter. I don't think, and what makes me believe that it was just The Rock being himself, was the fact that he addressed fans that were dressed as wrestlers. One was dressed as Randy Savage, one was dressed as The Undertaker. They had them being moved from the hard camera to seats that were previously occupied by Flo Rida. But he pretty much addressed one as Hulk Hogan. And I'm pretty sure with the WWE kind of trying to cut ties with Hogan, that was no accident. You know, I don't think the WWE intended for The Rock to interact with those fans. The Rock just went into business for himself. There's no damn way he's going to get punished for that, by the way, because he's The Rock, you know. It's just who he is, right? That's pretty much what I think they should be doing with talent. I think that's another reason why New Day got over. There was a pretty funny banter between them and The Rock as well. A lot more talent should be just allowed to do what they want to do, you know. Other than that, Raw closed with a triple threat being set at Fastlane. The winner would face Triple H for the title, since Triple H fucking won the Rumble. No complaints here. I saw it coming. I think AJ winning it would have been a nicer surprise, or maybe Daniel Bryan showing up as number 30 but still having Triple H interfere and get Roman out would have been nice as well. But you can't always get what you want, you know. Either way, Raw closed with a triple threat match being set. Roman Reigns against Dean Ambrose against Brock Lesnar. And the winner will go face Triple H at WrestleMania. Makes no sense, though, because Triple H is literally risking his ass. What happens if Brock wins? It would be Brock against Triple H. And what does Triple H really want to face Brock at WrestleMania? It seems like they just shot themselves in the foot. I mean, I understand the reasoning why they did this, but who knows? In an alternate timeline, maybe Rollins wouldn't have gotten injured, and it would have been Rollins in Lesnar's spot. And pretty much would have had that Shield triple threat that they've always teased. You never know. Maybe that's what they originally had in mind. And that closes off Raw for now. This is a really condensed version of the show, since I tend to do these condensed versions now. One other thing I want to get before I just you know, completely shut down this operation for now, is breaking news. Shinsuke Nakamura has been confirmed by WWE.com that he is coming to the NXT brand. And he will have his debut match against Sami Zayn at the NXT TakeOver special that takes place the day before WrestleMania. And they call it NXT TakeOver Dallas. This is big. I'm pumped. I'm stoked for this. Oh, if you haven't seen Nakamura perform, you should see him. He's great. Excellent talent. The roster, now the WWE roster is starting to look insane. Especially when you think of all the acquisitions, plus a lot of the people that are injured. When once they come back, you have your Cesaro coming back, your Randy Orton's coming back, your John Cena's coming back, your Seth Rollins coming back, and just them having to mingle in the ring with, you know, AJ Styles, Nakamura, when Nakamura gets called up, Balor, when Balor gets called up, it's just amazing. This is great. I hate to use the word boom period, because that was kind of used for when Daniel Bryan won the title at WrestleMania 30, and of course, just things happened. But regardless if he would have gotten injured or not, I don't think we would have had that boom period even with Daniel Bryan winning the title. Either way, who knows? We might be this close to getting a boom period, maybe. It would be nice to see Daniel Bryan come back, especially since he wants that match with Nakamura. He might get it. Just give him that one match, WWE. You could release him afterwards. I'm pretty sure, you know, just give him that one match. Yeah. And finally, I'm gonna close this show with two announcements. Well, one is more of a declaration kind of, and the other one's an announcement. I really want to get into the topic of, is kayfabe dead? That's my declaration, because I don't think kayfabe is necessarily dead. I just think kayfabe has evolved beyond what we think kayfabe actually is, because when you think about it, you know, kayfabe used to be, Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik hate each other, but, you know, they're palling around driving in a car together that we don't know about. You know, the average fan shouldn't know that. Now we kind of do know that it's, you know, it's predetermined. We've always known that it's predetermined, but now it's just out in the open. I think where the kayfabe comes in mind is we invest too much emotion into the outcome, even though we know it's a predetermined outcome. Why did people get so mad at Kevin Owens losing to John Cena? Tell me, if at the end of the day, they went backstage and they probably shook hands, they probably agreed to this, you know, Kevin Owens probably agreed to this, John Cena still won, yet we kind of got duped because we kind of thought Kevin Owens might have taken this feud. Isn't that kind of being a mark for kayfabe in a way? I really want to get back to this topic later on in later episodes. Because I really do think that kayfabe has just ascended to a higher plane. You know, there's obviously the wrestling. You know, there's a scripted wrestling. Then there's the kayfabe in which we're, you know, which I think we do see with these specials, you know, like Breaking Ground, you know. I as real as it is, I still think that there's certain scripted aspects to those shows as well. And then there's reality. So there's like another level of kayfabe on top of that kayfabe. If, you know, the one that they're trying to present as reality, is that's its kayfabe in itself. And then there's that reality. So it's like show, like Monday Night Raw, whatever you see. Then it's like those shows. And this is where the level that we think we're at, you know, that's when we get mad why Kevin Owens got pinned, you know. And then there's actual reality. So there's like two layers of kayfabe. I don't know. I'm just making stuff off the top of my head. Need to collect my thoughts. I'll get back to you on that. Now, to close the show down, I'd like to announce something really special. Pipe Bomb Wrestling Radio is going to come back with co-hosts again. I'm going to see how... I mean, I'm still going to be doing these short 10-minute episodes, but I'm going to try to get more co-hosts. It's been confirmed. One show in the future, we're going to get our old cohort, Alex Rico, to be a part of one of the shows. So stick around. We are going to get his thoughts. You know, I'm going to try to get, you know, people from the past, old cohorts. Hopefully they become, you know, regulars again. There's always hope. But at the same time, get new people as well to be a part of the show. And that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pipe Bomb Wrestling Radio. I know you could have chosen other podcasts, and you probably do. But hey, you gave my 20, you extended my 2 cents to 20 minutes or something. I don't know. Either way, thanks a lot. This is Curse from Pipe Bomb Wrestling Radio, signing out.